What we have here in this woman is the apostate church. For you see, the church is going to go apostate. We are not an apostate church. We don't want to be an apostate church. We want to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be what he wants us to be. And because of that, everything we do, we try and do by this book. And that is the reason we do anything that we do. But the day is coming, people, when there will not be a single sound church anywhere in Charleston. There will not be a good church anywhere in Charleston. In fact, there won't be a good church anywhere in the world. That's the picture we have of this woman. Now, she is not involved in sexual immorality when it talks about her fornication. It's her unfaithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, her unfaithfulness to God. That is the fornication that it's speaking of. And all over this world, in fact, all over this town, there is spiritual fornication taking place this very day. There are churches that are not teaching the truth of God. She represents one. Mother of harlots. Mother of harlots. That's how God looks at unfaithfulness. And so wars have been fought in the name of Jesus. The Crusades were waged in the name of Jesus. But were they holy wars? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. This is not going to be a single denomination church that goes into apostasy. It's not going to be one particular church of a particular denomination, but it includes all churches. They're all going to come together. The Greek Orthodox, the Catholic Church. You understand that the Greek Orthodox is actually a split in the Catholic Church that took place millennia ago when there was a disagreement as to who the Pope was going to be. And there, so the out of that came the Greek Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. Two different churches, two completely different philosophies of religion. But then you have the Protestant church. And you have many different kinds of Protestant churches, and some believe one thing and some believe another. But they're all going to come together. Now, when Connie and I were in Scotland, in the town of Galashiels, all of the churches there were dying. All of the churches there could not survive. And so they all came together. And I did not realize the significance of this quite at the time. At least I didn't think about this part of the book of Revelation. But every one of them, there were 11. And there were 11 churches got together and said, let's all become one church. Included the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church. It included Episcopal Church. It included a Lutheran Church. 11 different kinds of churches came together in the village, in the town of Galashiels. There was about 12,000 people. And they all moved into one church building. Now, I don't know how they decided who was going to be the pastor. Nobody, I can tell you now, talking with the people and talking with the various people, and I had a chance to do that, because of my Red Cross involvement, the British Red Cross involvement over there, not one of them was happy. Not one. Yeah, there was a woman finally who became the pastor. And everybody was unhappy. And even bringing all the resources of all the churches together, they could not survive. And by the time Connie and I left Galashiels, that church was failing too. That's what's going to happen. That's going to happen worldwide. All the churches are going to come together under the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. So, they're going to reap what they sow. As we look at these first five verses, the many waters of verse 1, and it's going to explain this to us a little bit later as we get deeper into the chapter, but the many waters are people, the sea of humanity. She sits upon the sea of humanity. And the church is everywhere. How many churches? You know, they call this a holy city. Man, that makes me cringe every time I hear that name. This town is not holy. It never was. And it never will be. Unless you and I make a little section of this community holy by living holy lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that opportunity. But remember, we're looking off in the future right now. We're in the book of Revelation. We're looking into the future. This is not now. Now, Christopher Columbus, when he sailed in the 1400s, he was sailing under the authority of the Catholic Church. They are the ones who sent him out to find another route to India so that they could make more wealth for the church. So it's not any longer a single denomination that we're reading about here. We are looking at all of the denominations coming together. Now we see this beast that the woman rides. This is the same beast that was waiting for the other woman to bring forth a child that he might devour it. It's the same beast, only we are talking about centuries between the events, millennia between the events. This event that we're reading about tonight has not happened yet. The event we read about in chapter 12 did happen. It happened 2,000 years ago. So this book of Revelation is not just future, but there are parts of it and incidents that take place in it that have already happened. So we see a different woman riding the dragon. I want you to notice how the woman is attired. She is dressed in purple and scarlet. She is decked with gold and with pearls and with jewels. She has a golden cup in her hand, and that makes me think about the Mass. It does. If any of you have ever been Catholic, there's that golden cup full of wine that everybody participates in. Sounds like a Catholic Mass to me. But the Catholic Church has been guilty of abominations throughout history. During the Inquisition, they put tens of thousands to death for having a single page of this book, for believing what this book said. For that, they got put to death. And you say, oh, that's horrible. Baptist Church did a few things too, folks. As I remember, I think we burned a few witches. I think we owned a few slaves. In fact, when this country was founded, Baptists didn't believe that black men had a soul. Yeah. That's the way it was. When they got ready to count them for voting, it took five black men to make up one soul. There was a three-fifths rule for voting. So we're not lily white. to use a term, we're guilty too. We've not always been holy. We've not always been sanctified. But churches in general have persecuted other churches. They have. If you were not of the right church and in a particular community, you could be persecuted. You might even be killed. So, as we look here in chapter 17 of Revelation, Rome now becomes the spiritual Babylon that you will more clearly see as we continue during this time of reading. Rome becomes Babylon, verses 6 and 7. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, those who believe in Christ, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, those who have believed in Jesus Christ. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, and the angel said to me, "Wherefore did thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." You know, I've always wondered how a good practicing Catholic could ignore what the church did during the Inquisition. And yet we ignore what the Baptist church did during the Salem incidents when we were burning witches at the stake, which were just people. Some of them were probably even innocent. Tens of thousands were put to death for believing the word of God. When the devil gets involved, suddenly there is a demonic power unleashed that the average human cannot control and cannot overcome. I believe that some of what's going on in Washington, D.C. today is demonic in nature. I really believe that. That we have demon-possessed people who have been elected and put in places of authority, who are laboring for the devil, not for you and I. I'm not going to mention any names. Okay. So you can't say Pastor McBride said this about so-and-so. When you look at the hate that is present in the hearts of some of the leadership, you just have to know that it is not of God. God does not hate people like that. God loves people. That's on our sign out front. When we tell people that God loves you, we mean that God loves them. And that's the message that we need to have for everybody that we come in contact with. John, looking at this scene, marveled as to what he saw. And an angel came to him to explain what he was seeing. Verses 8 through 11. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Now, we will read about this in chapter 20, so we'll not go into detail here. Verse 9. "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman setteth." Now, that has to be Rome, that seven, the city of seven hills. Verse 10, "And there were seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition." You say, "Brother Ken, what's this talking about? I don't understand that." Anybody think that? If you think about what the Bible tells us here in Revelation, not just here, but particularly in chapter 20, there is a time coming. Right now, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the prince of this world. He is in, he thinks, control. God is ultimately in control. But Satan thinks he is, and he will deceive anybody he can. But there is a day coming when Satan will be grabbed by the back of the neck by an angel, picked up, put in chains, and dropped into hell, where he will spend 1,000 years as Christ reigns on this earth. And at the end of that 1,000 years, so that's part of this, you know, he is now. And then it says he is not when he's dropped into hell. But he will come out of perdition, come out of hell, at the end of the 1,000 years to be able to tempt people again for a short season. And that's when it will be very dangerous for those who are born during the millennium, for those who grow up during the millennium, because they will never have been tempted. They will never have experienced temptation. And so when he tempts them, they will do the same that Eve did. They will sin. And if they do, they will be lost. So that's what it is talking about, the beast that was and was not and shall be again. So for an explanation, we have to go to the future history of Antichrist and the leaders of the 10 nations. All of the leaders are working under the authority of the devil. That would be 10 kings or nations under the leadership of the devil. And I believe that they're probably all under his leadership right now. He's working, folks. He's working in this country. He's working all over the world. 7 of the kings are successful, and 1 of the 7 seems to yield to Christian influence briefly, and then he disappears from public view. The head wounded unto death. It is he that will return as the 8th, seemingly returning to life, as the 8th will eventually go into perdition. He belongs to the devil or to the dragon. Now John is given the explanation as to what he has been seeing. 17:12-18. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive their power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that ate with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore setteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdoms unto the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. What is one of the things that, I don't know if some of you remember Kennedy's election to president. And I remember one of the arguments that was being put forth why he should not become the president of the United States, because he was a Catholic. And he would have to listen to the Catholic Church. And if they told him to do something, he would have to do it. And that's not true. He didn't have to. But that is one of the arguments that was put forth. And so here is the explanation for John as to what he's been seeing. At this point, it is still future. but will soon be fulfilled before his eyes. When he talks about 1 hour with the beast, he's speaking about a short period of time, that each of these 10 kings will have a short period of time of being honored and authorized by the beast to rule. The beast is then able to turn the hearts of the kings away from the woman and cause them to hate her to the point where they will destroy her. Now, the devil can cause us to hate. Hate is of the devil, folks. If you hate somebody, you are serving the devil. You are not serving God. What did God tell us? Love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. If we hate somebody, we are serving the devil. No matter what they've done to us, no matter what their lifestyle might be, we're not to hate, we're to love. And we're to pray for them. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That's what we've been told by Jesus. So let me give you a little something to think about. We're reading about the 10 kings and how they are going to be involved in the end time in destroying what is left of the church, the apostate church. Remember ever reading the book of Daniel? How many have read the book of Daniel? Okay, everybody. Everybody's read the book of Daniel. Do you remember when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream of the huge beast or thing, head of gold, chest of silver, belly of brass, legs of bronze and clay? Two feet, 10 toes. You know what? Those 10 toes represent 10 kings. The very same 10 kings that we're looking at right now. Daniel was seeing the end time. And do you remember what happened to those 10 kings of Daniel, of that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw? A rock cut out without hands smashed them to pieces. Folks, I know a rock. You know a rock. He's our rock. And he was cut out without hands. And he is going to smash to pieces those 10 kings in the last time. That brings Daniel and Revelation together. Daniel was seeing the same thing. In his time, it was about 506 BC. This is, we don't know, at least 2,000 years later. We're told in this chapter that the 10 kings are going to perish with the beast when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes. And that's why chapter 19 is my favorite verse. We won't get to it tonight. It'll be next week. But that's my favorite chapter because I like to be on the winning side. The church sanctified belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is awaiting the rapture when we will be taken out of this earth to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostate church belongs to the devil and to the dragon. And he displays her in purple and scarlet and pearls and fine jewelry. And that church is awaiting the destruction at the end of time. That church, the apostate church, will be destroyed. Jesus' church will spend eternity with God and with Jesus Christ. the apostate church will be destroyed and will perish forever in the lake of fire. That brings us to chapter 18, okay? There are apostate churches that have a few of the Lord's people in them. I do not understand why the Lord's people will stay in a bad church, but they will. You probably have friends who are in a church where they don't belong. A church where they're not getting fed, where they're not being cared for, where they're not being groomed for the last days. Why are they there? I've talked to some of those folks and they say, well, I feel like I can benefit the church because I know the truth. Did your parents ever tell you that it matters who you run with? That you need to run with the right people? That if you think that you can hang out with the wrong people and pull them up to your level, you're wrong? What happens? They pull you down to their level. And that's the only reason I can think of why people would stay in a bad church. So keep in mind that some of these things that we're looking at tonight, verse chapter 17 and chapter 18, have not taken place yet. But John is being given a preview of upcoming events and the fall of Babylon. And Babylon will be the church, the apostate church. One of the thing that will take place is going to happen in chapter 19. Like I said, we won't get there tonight. That's one of my favorite chapters in Revelation. You'll see why next week. The Catholic Church has raised a lot of money by selling things, and many merchants have shared in her profit by participating in church sales. Today, many churches of every kind sell stuff to supplement their income. If you don't like the way we do Sunday school with free coffee and donuts, we can start selling them. There are churches not too far away that actually sell sandwiches before church and breakfast entrees. So when you come to church, you can get breakfast and coffee and whatever you want. It wasn't too long ago, Connie and I were in a church where they have started selling stuff in order to raise money for missions. Now, I don't like any kind of commerce in the church. I don't believe it's a proper place for us to be involved in commerce. When the Tupperware movement was getting started and there were ladies selling Tupperware, we were in a church where there were several ladies who sold Tupperware. And the pastor finally had to come out and say, stop, no more. I don't like to see commerce in church. That's not what the church is for. The church is for the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is for the worship of God. The church is a place where we learn about God, where we learn about Jesus, where we learn how to serve Him, not us. Not our greed. So I don't believe there should be commerce taking place in the church, okay? So you know where I stand on that. Some of the churches today even sell charms and jewelry. Some offer trips to the Holy Land and they get a cut of the commission for selling the trip. And some of them sell cruises. That's turning the church into a commercial enterprise, into a mercenary effort. And I don't believe God is pleased with that. Revelation 18, verses 1 through 6. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to the works. In the cup of which she hath filled, fill to her double. If you plant a single kernel of corn, you could get an ear of corn with 30 kernels in a row and 18 rows. That one didn't double it, multiplied exponentially. And that's the way it is when you plant something. If you plant a grain of wheat, you get many kernels of wheat in that one head of wheat. And so that is what God is talking about here. What the church has sown, it's going to reap. By the time that we reach this point in Revelation, there's no integrity or conscience in the leadership or the administration of the church. The church is doomed to utter destruction at this point in the book of Revelation. Verses 7 through 14. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. The merchants of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. There was a time when the church endorsed slavery. It's a sad time, but there was a time. We don't do it anymore, do we? There are still churches, people, who sell slaves. There are still churches that sell, buy and sell the souls of men. And we live among them. In this country, you can pay to get a soul out of purgatory if you pay the church a certain amount of money. True. Do you find anywhere in God's word that there's anything we can do once a person dies. When they die, they are dead. And no matter how much money you give the church, they cannot be prayed out of purgatory or hell. And yet, there are people probably living around you that think you can. So how ridiculous is it what we're reading here in chapter 18 of Revelation? Of the church selling the souls of men and slaves. How many people will work as a slave to redeem a loved one from purgatory or from hell? First Timothy 6:10 tells us, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I've been to Catholic funerals. I've heard the rubbish that the priests have expounded to encourage the family to invest in the soul of their departed one. I've heard it. People, do you understand where you are tonight? You are sitting in a church. You are among brothers and sisters in Christ who believe this book, not any man. You should not believe me. You should believe this book and what it says. That's all we have. The merchants who were involved with that church were made rich by the things that she did. Verse 15 through 19 tells us, "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, the great city which was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." If you go into the Catholic Church, one Catholic Church in Mexico City, you will see at the front of the church, everything is plated with gold. That poor nation, where people can't even earn a living, but they give what they can, what they earn, to the church, to be wasted. There's a church in Munich, Germany. It's a Roman Orthodox church. Some of you have been to Munich. You've probably seen the five spires on that church that are plated with gold. Stolen from the people. Verse 17, "For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were men made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." As chapter 18 takes place in history sometime in the future, the one thing that people are concerned with, the one statement that they make, is not for the souls of men, but for the loss of income. Which brings us to the last five verses of chapter 18. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that city be Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft be he shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in all in thee. For thy merchants were of great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The church is finished. Now, we are not finished. We are here. We have a job to do. And God expects us to do that job. And we are working on it, step by step. Sunday school by Sunday school. Lesson by lesson. Folks, we should rejoice that God is giving us a chance to be a part of his kingdom. And giving us a chance to be a part of the fix for this world in which we live. Well, that finishes up chapter 17 and 18. Next week, we get to my favorite chapter. Any questions or comments? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that John wrote this book, that we might have a glimpse into the future of what you're going to do with not this church, but the apostate church. Father, put your hand upon us and keep us from ever entering into any apostasy. Help us to be what you would have us to be. Help us to love thee, to faithfully serve thee according to your word. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. Take each one home safely. Use us in this week to come to be a witness to others. And Father, may we see someone trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior because of your word and what you have shared with us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.